We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
Well, you know what they say, right? Good things come to those who wait. Slightly later than planned. Sorry, everybody, and thank you very much for waiting. It is time for the brand new episode of Press X to continue. This is the gaming podcast that has you covered, whether you're a seasoned pro or someone who just likes to dabble from time to time. Everybody is welcome here as an XC beast in the Continue Club, keeping everyone happy all of the time. My name's Stefan, and here with me as ever is the all-round good egg, comedian, streamer, star of the BAFTA red carpet.
Oi!
Tomlinson. Looking very sharp on that red carpet you were.
Thank you very much. I got invited onto the red carpet. I was like, oh, snap. They're going to take my picture and be like, who's that? Like, it's that guy.
Oh, this fella. This is the BAFTA Telly Awards because you were nominated.
Yeah, it was nominated for Horrible Histories for Best Children's Scripted Show. Unfortunately, we didn't walk away with anything this time. But
robbed.
Hey, liberties. Listen. Terrible scene.
Listen, you're not going to get my face saying that. Yeah, when the camera was on me, when you know when they do the nominees bit and they put the camera on you, camera's on me, I was just like, wait, just smile.
Smile and applaud, smile and applaud. But the eyes said it, the eyes said
happy,
it all.
You're happy for everybody, you're happy for everyone.
Back with us this week, we've got the presenter and gameplay extraordinaire, Shay Thompson. Shay, welcome back.
So good to be back, guys. Thanks for having me.
How have you been since your last appearance in the Continue Club?
I've been good. I've been getting hench.
Have you? Have you been lifting?
I have, yeah. And I'm developing chest muscles, and that's kind of wild. My mum was like, "What's that?" And I was like, "I think it's my pecs. I think it's my pecs."
Are you channeling your inner Abby from The Last of Us 2? Is that what you're
doing? Yes, exactly that. Honestly, when I saw those arms, I was like, "I gotta get these toothpicks up. These are not cutting it. I got to hit the bicep curls, do it all."
Careful, I'm worried about your controller, Shay. Are you taking care of those controllers?
I hear a bit too much clicking these days. I guess I don't know my own strength, you know?
Well, it's lovely to have you. We'll start this week, as ever, with some unpopular opinions from the Discord this week. We've got this one that comes in. The real pioneer of handheld gaming was the Wii U, according to C. Leslie. The Switch blew it up. But it was the Wii U that was the real pioneer. It was weird because the Wii U sort of destroyed the legacy of the Wii to an extent in terms of because it was doing so well, wasn't it? And then the Wii U came and everything kind of bombed.
I don't know about that. That's going too far, man. Destroyed the legacy.
Because imagine now, right? The Wii was in the same sort of position as the Switch is now in terms of popularity and how many homes they were in and whatever. If nobody then goes on to buy the Switch 2, then that would be the same thing again. Do you know what I mean? Because that's basically what happened. It's hard to believe it.
But the thing, one of the things is though, like all the best selling games that came on, that people bought on the Switch, they were all Wii U titles.
They were all Wii U titles. as one of the 5 Wii U owners in this world, and as someone who was like on the front line. So I was selling copies of the Wii U's when I worked at HMV, and I'd have people come in and they were like, oh, like, so do I just buy the screen then? Is it like an add-on for the Wii? I was like, no, that is a whole new console. And they were like, I don't get it. So I do get it when they say that, like, commercially it kind of put a stain on Nintendo, but personally, like, playing Twilight Princess like on the Wii U, like, I picked it up and like I would play it in bed instead of like having it docked on the TV, and that was like the first kind of iteration of that sort of handheld home console. So
hey, look, the Wii U walked so the Switch could run.
I get it.
I loved it. Hey, listen, I played it on the toilet. It was great. It's great.
Exactly. You get what? It. You're a pioneer.
You go from gaming on your couch to, you know, you press one button, bloop, goes onto the gamepad, goes in the toilet, boom.
Genuinely innovative. Right,
you are BAFTA television red carpet walker. Okay, your level of celeb has just gone up a notch, and here you are talking about your bowel movements on the podcast.
Hold on, Steph. Are you saying you've never played video games on the toilet?
Oh, all the time. I'm not. Yeah, but, all the time. I wasn't necessarily advertising it. Most of my screenshots. In fact, I took a screenshot.
Most of your screen time,
right? It's my escape from the kids. Emma, I've just got to go to the bathroom quick. I'll be there for half an hour. Quick game of mini motorways.
Legs are gone numb. Got pins and needles. It's got an achievement now.
I want to put a screenshot. I've been playing Mini Motorways again recently on the mobile.
Yeah.
What a lush game. What a lovely game. So zen and calming. Mm. But I don't know if my scores are any good or not. I don't know if I'm good at it or not. And I don't really care, but I do really care. Yeah. So I was going to take a screenshot of my like best city or whatever and put it on the Discord group to see if anybody... In fact, I might do that now.
Yeah.
To see if anybody can, like, if they've done better or if I'm rubbish or
whatever.
Oh, good shout.
My little tip for you, though, Steph.
Yeah.
Always have separate roles for separate colours. That'll help you out so much. Keep them separate unless you have to. And if they have to, let them share a motorway or a roundabout.
Because motorways are big in my style. Yeah. But my point is, I took that screenshot while I was on the toilet, actually. Mm. I just wasn't necessarily going to advertise it. But
it's deep. People go deep on that in mini motorways, you know. You know, some people, they do big live streams of it and they play it for like 3 hours just in one city.
One city.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you're brave for sharing your score. Like, I, with that kind of stuff, like, I really don't. Like,
what do you think?
Because I'll think, it's a big score. And then you go online and you see someone else's and you're like,
I don't even want to interrupt you, but that looks like a village. That ain't no city, bro. I was expecting to see some metropolis or something. You show me a village.
No, that wasn't my best one. That's just my latest one.
Trees and houses.
And that's exactly why I don't share. I don't need feedback like that. I don't need enemies like that. People plotting on my downfall, criticizing my every move. Don't need it. Don't need that kind of feedback. So I'll just stay in my own little realm. Let me great.
That was my latest, not my best. Jeez. Thank you very much, C. Leslie, for your thoughts on the Wii U and how we ended up talking about Einel's bowel movements and mini motorways. I don't know, but here we are. But yeah, do send me some positive and affirmative and like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, yeah, positive feedback on my mini motorways techers when I put it in the Discord.
Cool.
No negativity like I'm getting here from Einel. And Hexana, active in the Discord. We love that. We love to see it, Hexana. Keep it going. Her unpopular opinion is that Einel and Shay, you've got first-hand experience of this. Einel may come across as an awesome, positive, energy-bringing legend, but only people who think that have never played Among Us with him.
Oh, yes. I've played Among Us with Hexana. And I've played, hey, listen, either I win it or I go out first. It's one of those things. People either suspect it's me early on and they get me out, or I go all the way.
Yeah.
All or nothing.
Interesting. Well, very good. Thank you very much for those unpopular opinions. Keep them coming. You know where to find us by now. Press X Pod on Blue Sky and TikTok, and Press X Podcast on Instagram. Find us, comment, get in the Discord as well, because we're loving the conversation. So keep it coming, because we love to hear from you. Right then, okay. So the next regular part of our rebooted Press X is we start after the unpopular opinion with a trivia question. Before I give you the question, though, let's do it properly and get the music.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Okay, now remember, you can get your questions to the team, into the Discord, and then we can be answering them here on the podcast. You'll find a channel there that is secret. It's a secret channel. And we don't know who... I mean, Shay could have... This could have question become could be coming me. From Shay, actually.
I don't know who is... Where it's coming from.
So we don't know where it's coming
Anonymous.
From.
Anonymous.
Anonymous. And then we will reveal the answer to this question at the end of the episode. So, what was it that the game Burnout Paradise was one of the first to do, which helped get Barack Obama elected as US president in 2008. What was it that the game Burnout Paradise was one of the first to do, and it helped get Barack Obama elected as US president in 2008? Now, Shay's face is giving me, I think I know the answer to this, vibes.
I think I know the answer. I actually do.
Oh, what is it?
You want me to say now?
I want you to say now, and then I'm going to give it the reveal later. So
we'll okay.
I think it was one of the first to put billboards, like real-life billboards, like in the game.
I was going to say the same thing. Like, because obviously it was because it was an online, like, free roam racing game. It was all because he was always online. They were like beaming in ads and stuff on the dots of the billboards. Yeah,
and it was like a big deal. It was like kind of
Barack Obama had
a,
like an ad there to go vote.
So, okay then. So, Burnout Paradise. I mean, if you've got that right, that is very impressive. Someone in the Discord as well has put a link of who's got however many answers right. I will hopefully find that before we get to the before we get to the reveal, because I think Shay, if you do get this right, this could be your second one getting it right.
Will Shay be in the lead?
I think if you get this right, then you sound very confident. So I think you might.
I don't like sounding confident because
you sound very confident. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know, which was a mistake.
Then you could be taking the lead here. I mean, I think Einar technically is in the lead, but then he gets to guess every week, so it's kind of cheating, really.
Yeah,
but we'll find more opportunities for me to lose, also. So, you know.
Well, that is also true. That is good. So percentage wise, you might be down, but overall, you might be up. So we'll
It's a very good question.
Yeah, quite. We will bring you the answer to that before the end of the podcast. And thank you very much for whoever submitted that question in the mysterious secretive channel. Yes. Right then. So we're going to start this week. There's only one place we can start this week because something happened after our record last week that we've been waiting for a very, very long time. So let's start with the latest from Grand Theft Auto 6 and our editor, Cammy. Take it away.
The Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
Alongside confirming a release date of the 26th of May 2026, Rockstar released a new trailer for the game that showed off some impressive visuals, another look at some of the story, and hang on, this can't be right. You commit crimes in this game. Is that allowed? Can they allow that?
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Right, well, thank you very much to Cammy. And I was relieved that we had GTA 6 updates, not for the developers of Rockstar and for the millions of people who are eagerly awaiting that game, but for the sanity of our editor, Cammy, who I thought was going to lose his mind by having to continually say that there were no updates. And now he's got another 12 months of continuing to do that, by the way, until May 26th, but whatever. So, Einel, can you tell me what the lottery tickets are for next week? Because you guessed this back in December 2024, you said there won't be GTA 6 this year, and you were right.
Yeah, I don't want to be too loud. Obviously, the investors will probably come for me. But, like, it was one of those things where, like, GTA is such a landmark game. And obviously, it can release any time it wants. But it also needs to release at the right time also, because people got to have enough money for the games. And as I said, Nintendo's coming out this year with their new Switch. And I know it's not the same market, but boy, I'm pretty certain they were looking at that and say, let's give them some more time to cook. And plus, the trailer that they released, the latest trailer, Trailer 2, looks absolutely phenomenal. And if you're telling me they're going to get another year to work on that and improve that and fine tweak it, oh, I can't wait to see what they're going to bring.
Yeah, so for you, your sense back in December when we had that conversation, and I was like, nah, it's got to come out because they've told the investors it's coming out. And you were like,
no.
Nah. So, and it was the Nintendo for you that was the big influencer, one of.
Obviously, well, they've had a long time to make this game, but you have to remember there's been so many huge delays for them because obviously Rockstar they were working from home a lot of it during the pandemic, and then the first signs was like everybody was forced to come back to the office beginning of last year, I believe it was, or end of 2023. Everybody had to come back, and it's like if everybody has to come back to the office, that means they're way behind schedule. And then also it was a it was a case of just in general, these games are huge.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, it's massive.
And they had a massive leak. Do you remember before even GTA 6 was announced? The whole source code got leaked. People were putting footage online of what the game looks like and the alpha builds and stuff like that. So they have to work through all of that as well. So, yeah, it was a minefield. I was like, yeah, it's not coming out anytime soon.
Shay, what was your reaction when you heard that it had been pushed back?
Thank God. Actually, yeah, thank God, because I think that a lot of like developers and like studios of all sizes, both AAA all the way down to indie, we're all kind of scared. Everyone was kind of like on the edge of their seat. They were like, when is it going to be, like, you know, trying to like delay or even like push forward the release date of their games in order to avoid that kind of GTA 6 splash zone. So now I think a lot of developers have like some breathing room, and like now that we know it's definitively May next year, people can plan accordingly. Not just
Shay,
you know,
there's gonna be no games coming out May.
Oh yeah, no, none at all.
No games coming
none
out
at all
May.
And yeah, I bet like a lot of these developers are really relieved, and as an empath, I feel that relief for them. I love it for them.
Yeah, I think in terms of like what the product we will end up getting, I think it'll be better, and like the work-life balance of those people. Because I can remember going to do a feature on Red Dead Redemption 2 in Scotland just before that was coming out, and there'd been a lot of articles written around that time about the crunch in the studio and the push to get that finished on time. So, you know, lessons have clearly been learnt from that experience, because it did sort of take a little bit of attention away from how brilliant that game was the first couple of weeks, because you knew the sacrifices people had to make something so good. You want people to make something that is that good and still have a life outside of things. So you do definitely feel like better on that front.
Yeah, I remember because they had to come out and address that, didn't they?
They did. I can remember one of the most awkward interactions. I mean, it's always awkward when you go into a studio and you ask a question, or you go into any interview and you ask a question somebody doesn't want you to ask. But that's the nature of, if you're going to run.
Suddenly they stop smiling.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like if you make a big game like that, and if you're a boss of a studio that makes a big game like that, it comes with a territory. And if you give a legitimate answer, then that's fine. Everybody can move on. It's good. So it's definitely, hopefully, avoided those sorts of stories. I just feel a bit sad, because I think anytime there's a delay like this, you kind of, especially when we saw the trailers, like, oh, I actually really want to play that now. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'd kind of forgotten about it. I wasn't especially excited. But when I saw the trailers, like, oh, I'd love to play that. They make me really salivating for what they've created.
It's the first GTA that has like really kind of captured my attention and made me want to play it. I've been like kind of about the others, especially GTA 5. I sold so many copies of that game when I worked at HMV that it just kind of put me off for life. But this game, I was like, oh, this actually looks good. This is a game for the lovers, finally. I'm like, bring back romance. My goodness. Like, yeah, looks great.
There's a Bonnie and Clyde element to it, Einel, I think, that they could get leaning into, which I think is cool. I wonder, do you think you'd be able to play both characters? Do we know that yet?
I think we're definitely going to be able to play as both. And I'm assuming they'll probably carry along a similar mechanic that they had for GTA 5 in terms of being able to switch characters at different points to see what they're doing. And I think that'd be quite fun. I'm really hoping. I know it's not a thing that they've even said, or I don't think people are expecting, but I would love a co-op.
Oh, wouldn't it be class?
I would love a co-op.
Wouldn't it be class?
Oh, Bonnie, come on, Rockstar. That's the real boy, Bonnie and Clyde. What, co-op with your friend? You and your friend, one of you can play Jason, one of you can play Lucia, and you can just, go on. Proper couple stuff.
Well, we had this conversation with Marcus Bronzy the other day, Shay, when he was on with us, because we were talking about Split Fiction, and we were talking about the sort of the glow up the co-op games have had in recent years. Largely because of that studio, actually. But, you know, in terms of trying to find a new thing that is sort of gravitating games developers towards making, you know, moving on from just making battle royales or whatever. If GTA 6 was co-op, I know we're going off on a tangent here that's not based on fact whatsoever.
Just based on my wishes. Right? Yeah.
But based on, I suppose, the trailer and on wouldn't it be a class? If it was, and just, you can just imagine everybody else would just say, actually, yeah, this co-op thing, yeah, we should definitely do that as well, shouldn't we? You can just, that's how much of a trendsetter this franchise is.
Right.
I would love it. Honestly, come for Hazel Light's crown. They're the guys that make It Takes Two and Split Fiction. Come for their crown. You know, I want to see more studios jump on that. It's been something that's been missing from games for a really long time. Yeah. And like, we need it. So many people love co-op games. Who doesn't love fun?
But also, Grand Theft Auto, in a serious note, Daniel, it has to do something. It's got to do something different. I mean, obviously the online stuff was amazing last time, and RP is kicking off and really, really big. But it can't just be another. I mean, this is an awful thing to say because GTA games are great, but like, it can't just be another GTA. We've been doing something for 13 years. There has to be something fundamental different here that we haven't seen before.
And I think you hit the nail on the head there when you mentioned like role play, because a few years ago, like Rockstar, they bought was it 5M, the people that do that, one of the biggest role play mods for GTA out there. I mean, they could have shut it down. They could have just shut it down and say, "Oh, we don't want this mod because we've got GTA Online." Instead, they bought them and they brought on bought the company, and I'm pretty certain a lot of the tech that they had in those role play mods we're going to see inside GTA 6 in terms of like lifestyle stuff, going to the shops, buying things, having to eat. Almost like a survival game where you have to kind of feed yourself, make sure you're hydrated, put gas in the car, maybe. Who knows? But like, when they showed the trailer and you were seeing Jason going to the gym, pumping weights, going to the shop, buying some beers, I see all of that in roleplay. And I'm like, oh, are they going to bring some of those elements in? And when you say it deserves something new, I think that multiplayer element is the key. Otherwise, why else buy them?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's a fine balance. The game mechanics like that, Shay, isn't it? It's a fine balance between like immersion and admin.
Yeah, because like after a while that stuff starts feeling like tedium, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that, because that's a chore. That becomes work, and I'm like, I don't play games for work in that way anyway.
Shay's lifting too much in real life to be lifting in the game.
Exactly. Come on, well. Now. Don't you know me?
Well, look, let us know what you thought of the trailer. Obviously, people have been talking about it in the Discord already. It's big news. It is the big news because it totally shapes how the rest of this year goes gaming-wise, right? You know now that you don't have to book a weekend off in September to get through GTA 6. You've got some time to play other games, maybe get yourself a Switch or whatever. Let us know what you think. Find us on social media, PressXPod or PressXPodcast, and get in the Discord and keep the conversation going. Are you excited? Should there be a co-op? Will there be a co-op game in that? Have we found something here?
I'll be slightly disappointed if there isn't.
Yeah.
It'd be a shame.
There will be, but I'd love it if it was part of the, what we're saying, we'd love it to be part of the main story. Game. Yeah, rather than just on the online stuff.
Because that'd be so cool.
It'd be sick.
You'd have to like call up maybe if you're playing Jason, you have to call up like someone who's playing the other character and be like, listen, I need you for this mission now. You need to turn up. I'm at the docks. It's going down. I need you.
Yeah. Get out of the gym. Put the bar down, stop deadlifting, get yourself to the dock, sort this out. Exciting though, isn't it? To finally be, to have something to talk about on this front. It's exciting. It's not
a long time coming. Yeah.
Since the inception of Press X, the respawn.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had 6 months of Cammy saying there's no news.
I'm going to miss it.
Well, now he's got another 6 months to go.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Gone over a year.
So unless you start drip feeding stuff, which something tells me Rockstar just won't do. So good luck with that. Right then, next up we want to talk about modding, because Saber Interactive, who Einel knows very well, the makers of Space Marine 2, have released an official integration studio, which is basically a tool for modders to use. And they say it's the exact same tool that they use internally for gameplay development. So they are really embracing modding at Saber Interactive. And so it's got us thinking about modding games. Einar was talking about it there, how mods ended up being bought out by Rockstar and sort of integrating into the world of GTA. We know it started sort of, you know, Counter-Strike started off as a mod for Half-Life, didn't it? And look at it now, one of the biggest esports in the world. Have either of you ever modded a game? Are you interested in that sort of modding space? It's not something I enjoy mods. I enjoy looking at them. I enjoy in exploring it, but I've never done it myself.
I only started playing on PC like fairly recently. Like since the start of the pandemic. And so before that, it was just like, it was something that I never had access to, because it was only recently that console mods even became a thing. So it always seemed like this very, this is going to sound really bad, this really nerdy thing that people would do to the games they love. And I'm not saying that like, you know, in a bad way, but I was like, man, like seeing where people would be playing a game and think, okay, this is what I'm going to do to this game now. It is really cool. Like, it's a very different expression of creativity. So I have a lot of respect for it. And it has, like, made some really interesting games. Obviously, you mentioned Counter-Strike, but The Forgotten City was a game that came out in, I want to say, like, 2021. And that...
I think we talked about it in one of our retro... Yeah. In one of our retro episodes, actually.
I think so. And that started life as Skyrim mod. And then it spun out into this whole other thing. So it's really cool. On the face of them, I really encourage mods, but... You won't catch me making a mod anytime soon. Let me just tell you that.
I think it's a double-edged sword, and you can understand why companies are a bit wary. But I think the nature of games creation is different to like film and television, is it? Mm. Where it is a more interactive thing, and you give people a sandbox, a toolkit to go and mess about with. And you know, if you've got 2,000 people playing around with your stuff, then they're going to come up with things that you haven't thought of, and then you can use it for your own games and development going further forward. I can remember when Warcraft 2 came out, so with a real-time strategy game back in the, is that 90s or noughties, whenever that was, you could create your own maps. And I'd spent hours making my own map to, like, play around on and stuff. I absolutely loved that. And so, you know, it's been ingrained as sort of part of the industry since then. Mm. But I think Shay hit the nail on the head a little bit there, Einel, in terms of console games are a bit behind in this. And I wonder, to really sort of boost this out to something that everybody can do. I've just been part of a discussion about the young game designer, the BAFTA do. If you had access to more console games for kids to mess about with and create levels and stuff like that, which I know that game Dreams, that's what basically that was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Then I think that could encourage more people to get onto the modding train, which then in time could lead to more people deciding that they want to make their own games.
Oh, definitely. Like, I'm slightly sad that we were going along that track in, I guess, like... when the PS2 came out and the Xbox, we were seeing games like Time Splitters 2 that allowed you to make your own maps and levels. We saw games like Far Cry. Every time like a Far Cry game came out, they would give you like, oh, here's, you can make your own multiplayer maps and then invite anyone onto them to play. And I love it when developers give those tools to console people, because that's where I got a love for like modding and making games was literally Time Splitters 2, making my own little zombie thing and then having my own little rules to go along with it. But sadly, a lot of that has disappeared, even though we've got these huge hard drives on our consoles that we can fill up with our own custom stuff. Not many games kind of support it officially. I know there's like the Fallout games, they've been pretty good with that sort of thing. But it's mainly seen as a PC thing these days, particularly with, like, I always remember like Left 4 Dead. And there was like a really cool map that someone made. It was like the Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers. It was the last bit, Helm's Deep. And they made it where you're on the wall, the four of you are on the wall, and there's a whole bunch of zombies just keep coming. You just have to hold it off. And then they, like, unofficially, they've got the Lord of the Rings music playing as well. And you feel like you just did it. I'm like, yeah, go get them, get them, get them. They're breaching the wall. So I would love for that style of gaming to come back to consoles, man. But yeah, we shall see.
I do. I think it's really creative, and I think it's clever. I do find it difficult that when people use it to take the piss. But I know it's a laugh. I know it's silly, but like I struggled. I couldn't watch those videos of Thomas the Tank Engine in Skyrim.
Please.
Do you know what I mean? I know it's funny and oh my god, it's fine. I get it, but I was like, you're breaking the fourth wall. You know, I'm
not my Skyrim.
Okay. I'm trying to get in a character here. I can't unsee Thomas the Tank Engine now.
And they're not always funny. Sorry to rain all over everyone's parade. They're not always funny. So I agree with you in that respect.
So what we're saying is, yes, we embrace all things modding except for putting Thomas the Tank Engine into games that he doesn't belong in. Okay, if it's putting him into a train game, cool. You know, Railway Simulator or whatever, fantastic. Skyrim, no. But look, let us know if you're into modding, you're a fan of modding, or if you've got some mods to share that you've done that you want people to play or get, you know, any feedback on or whatever, then let us know. You know what to do, get in the Discord and share it with us. It's a really interesting part of games that I feel like I could do with learning more about. So
I'm very open
with having more conversations with people about that. So let us know. Also, share your favourite mods from games with us as well, because producer David is shouting out the Knights of the Old Republic 2 mod. that restored the content and then patched back in a lot of material that was originally cut because the developers ran out of time before release.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And apparently made the story much more cohesive, made the game much better. So big shout out to the Knights of the Old Republic 2 mod.
Oh, just a general shout out to them. Some of these modders are keeping games alive.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, we haven't even touched on Minecraft yet, where, which is, that is a game that is, there's a toolkit, that is a sandbox you go and play with. But yeah, modders think so clever. I remember someone modded, what's it called? Creative Assembly, Medieval Total War.
Total War?
They modded Total War to Game of Thrones. It's like, yes!
Hell yeah.
I want to play as Westeros. Thank you very much. Love it.
These mods are just Lord of the Rings mods.
I'm wearing a Lord of the Rings t-shirt, so...
Yeah, there you go.
It's very in keeping, very on brand. And that was not planned. Okay, we don't think that far ahead and press it. We're professional, right? We're not that professional. Right. So apparently, do you know this? Did you know this was news to me when producer David told me? Did you know the new Pope is a gamer?
I didn't know. Did you know this? So you dropped it in the thing.
So apparently, there's a post on Blue Sky not long ago by Ryan T. Brown from Lost in Cult. Who me and Ainel have contributed to, didn't we, when we were at the Games Festival, which was really fun, lovely chat. And the post sort of asked, what counts as a video game? Because obviously there's PCs and consoles, but what about, LED toys like Tamagotchis, interactive TVs? If you played Bandersnatch, Black Mirror, does that count as a game? Wordle, my wife plays Wordle every single day, and the New York Times, different puzzles they've got. Does that come as a game?
Connections
every day. But where is the sort of cutoff for what counts as a video game, right? Because it's been reported that the new Pope, Leo the 14th, is a gamer because he plays Wordle every day and loves Words with Friends, which is basically Scrabble, isn't it, with his brother. So what do we think? I mean, I'm a very loose definition. I don't even like the term gamer, by the way. I find it a bit difficult, but whatever. For the sake of ease, are we calling him the first gaming pope because he plays Words with Friends and Wordle?
I think so. I mean, because Words with Friends is a multiplayer game, so he's playing multiplayer games out here.
I'm with Ainel.
The part of me that kind of acts as an unofficial ambassador to the world of games, whenever I do like talks or panels or stuff, I'm like, yes, everyone's a gamer, you've all got like Candy Crush on your phones. But I'm like, this is like the actual, like, the nerd in me that's been playing games my whole life, I'm like, should we gatekeep a little bit?
We don't want no popes up in here.
I would like to, just this point before we continue this conversation, give a massive shout out to our social media goblin, Owen, who's an absolute genius, who's just messaged me. He's listening to the record, and he said, you could argue that he plays Wordle religiously. Yes, Owen, why didn't I think of that?
Do you know what? If I was ever to, like, get into the company of the Pope, which... it's never going to happen, but if it did...
You never know, mate. He might be a big Horrible Histories guy. He probably would have given you that BAFTA.
Well, to be fair, if you've seen my rendition of Pope in Horrible Histories, he worked in, but like, played a few Popes in that show. But I would recommend a game. I would recommend he play Chants of Sanaa. I reckon that would be a great game, because Chants of Sanaa is a game all about language and bringing different cultures together. There's different cultures and different languages that you have to try and understand. Then you have to bring them together to kind of help solve problems. That's exactly what Pope does. So I think, he would love to play something like that. I reckon. Yeah,
that's very good. I mean, he's clearly open. I think if you're playing an app on your phone that needs you to move things around to get a result, I think we can class that as gaming. Now, I don't know, because they have the same argument in sport. Does snooker count as a sport? You know, is darts a sport? I can remember going on the BBC once to argue that esports are a sport. And it's boring and it's tedious. This is not important. I think it's more about, like, his attitude towards using, fun and play. Right? Yeah. He's clearly a play. Yeah. He wants to play.
Oh, we'd definitely all be more impressed if he had a Nintendo Switch. But yeah, like, yeah. I'm happy
with
this.
We'll take this. Yeah,
I think it's good because I think kind of helps to have people in these big positions. If we, you know, to sort of help people have a better understanding of the world of gaming, not just sort of assume that it's all bad and full of like addicted people and you know, online hate and blah blah blah. All those things. Our problems, don't get me wrong. But it's not all bad. Well, I think
the pub is playing Call of Duty, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He loves Warzone.
He's in the war zone.
Yeah, he's in the gulag. You know. Where would your line be then, Shay? Where do games begin for you? What would be your lowest barrier to entry, quote-unquote, game? It's a big philosophical question.
It is. Would I count like digital chess? Is that my lowest bar? I think so.
Because like, you can argue that chess.com is the biggest gaming website in the world.
Yeah. Because
bazillion people use that thing every day.
So many.
Day, yeah.
So I think that's probably where I would cap that. Because like, that is still a game. You know, it has rules. You play it with other people. I can't really played alone, but yeah, I don't know. I classify that.
Scrabble has rules, and you play it with other people. I know. I'm picking it. Oh,
no, okay, digital Scrabble. I would call that a game. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Words with Friends is closer than Wordle.
I love Words with Friends.
Yeah,
for sure.
I had a real phase of Words with Friends. Mm. I used to play with my old boss, and she was very good. She used to kick my ass. But look, let us know, where do you think video games begin? Have you got a line, Inel?
I'm the opposite, Shay. I'm like, if you enjoy a game, even if it's just one game that you play, that then yeah, you're down. Like, yeah. I no longer use the term, oh, I'm a gamer sort of thing. Because it has so many negative connotations with it for people that are outside of the industry. And so I'm like, if you enjoy playing games, you enjoy playing games, innit? that's how I, as far as I go.
I think I'm not a movier because I go to the movies.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a sporter because I like sport. Mm. Played golf this morning. I mean, I'm a golfer, but you know what I mean. I was doing quite good then.
Proved your own point immediately. but I'm actually with you. I don't like the word
player
gamer.
Would be better. Would player, yeah, player would be better.
I usually say game player. Yeah, gamer sounds like a slur. Yeah. Gamer with a hard R? No.
Yeah, but never with a hard R. Yeah, I hate gamer. I hate it. So, player. Shall we bring that back?
Players.
Yeah.
I think the nature of play is important. We learn through play. Kids learn through play. Yeah. Animals learn through play. I did a documentary series once about why people play when they're kids and why if you go to care homes, what a lot of people do to sort of keep people engaged and their quality of life high is they play with them. It could be a simple game like bingo or whatever, but you're still playing. You're engaging your brain and and you're learning, you're communicating, you're competing. You're like, it's good for you. Anyway, we're getting quite deep and philosophical here. But,
love it, though.
Oh, yeah, I was down.
let us know what are you. Where's your line for games? Does Words with Friends count? Would you want like a higher bar? Would you want a lower bar? Let us know. You know, get involved in the conversation on the Discord, on social media. We would love to hear from you. Playing's cool, being a gamer not so cool. Isn't it weird how social connotations have
changes? It's just like slang words. You remember when you was at school and it's like bad means good.
In that exact voice too. Yeah.
I'm confused. Right then, okay, so Spotify playlist time. We are adding to our Spotify playlist. I've been putting some more tracks on INL.
I've got it set because I'm not even a Spotify person, but like I got it set in my car for the playlist. Anytime I click on Spotify, it's got the Press X Ultimate Gaming playlist right there.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. And yes, you have been adding because I saw contributions from Luke in there. So yeah. I listened to contributions from Cassie as well. So it's evolving.
It's evolving because people were criticizing me, Shay, for not putting anything else on.
I loved that personally. We need to gatekeep more. So I was like, I'm here for the gatekeeping. I'm here for being strict. I was like, I was cheering when I heard that. I was like, yes. Good.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, it's not an open door policy. It's not a floodgate thing. You know, don't you worry about that. Mel has messaged to say that we should, well, how could I forget this banger, she says, Seek from Among Us. And they've also got a cowboy version of the soundtrack as well, which is interesting.
Is there?
Mel, I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
Still which, no cannon fodder, though.
That's no cannon fodder. Yeah. Right, the quiz. What was it that the game, I think you've both got this right, Burnout Paradise was one of the first games to do which helped Barack Obama get elected US president in 2008. The answer was the first games to ever carry political adverts. Mm. In the run-up to the 2008 presidential election, ads reading, early voting has begun with a picture of Obama's face and his slogan, Vote for Change, appeared in the game in 10 US states. Hey. And they were contested states as well. So you're talking Ohio, Florida, Iowa, Colorado, Indiana, Montana, North Carolina, a key one, isn't it? New Mexico, Nevada, and Wisconsin.
Wow. Do you know what I would love to know? How much they paid EA for those spots.
Yeah, I wonder. Apparently John McCain was approached for a similar set of ads, but they declined to do it.
Why?
That's crazy to
That's
think
how he
about.
Didn't make it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, not everyone was on Burnout back then.
Everyone. Not to get too political, but it's so interesting to see the kind of flip with that, because now the other side are using gaming a lot more. So it's interesting how the passage of time really changes things.
Do you know what it is? It's because we haven't had no more burnouts. That's what that is.
Yes. More burnout, please.
We need more burnouts.
Okay, so you've both got that correct, which means that... Einel, you have got an 18.75% record of getting it right. You've had three right out of 16.
I'll take it. That's the kill-death ratio.
Right. Keza, off of The Guardian, has got two right out of two. So she's got a 100% record.
Oh.
Right. So she's also... Benedict and Frankie have got one right, but then they've only been asked one. So that's doesn't count. Now, Shay, you have got... two right from five. So you've got a 40% record. That's pretty good. Two from five, that's pretty good.
That's it. Some of us on 18 out here, you know.
Yeah. Some of us have got one right out of 17. That would be me. And that's only a 5.8% record. So
well, you got other talents. So. Yeah. Many others. Many others.
Don't know what they are. However, well, listen, thank you very much, everybody, for getting involved. Thank you for that very good question. That'll be it for this episode of Press X. To continue, don't forget to get involved by messaging us on Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky and Press X Podcast on Instagram. We will have another retro episode of Press X coming up on Thursday, where we share our back catalogue that has never been available on all the podcast platforms before. So we're bringing you that fun every Thursday. And then we're going to be back next Tuesday for some more fun as well. Also, keep an eye out for a special episode that may or may not be dropping at some point that I can't tell you about. So on that mysterious note, until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.